Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, did a deceased loved one make one final call from beyond the grave? Trying to avoid a specific song that reminds one of the dead is more difficult than expected. And sleepy, dazed brain playing tricks on one listener? Or was the veil slightly lifted enough for a passing encounter? Those stories and more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you can call that in. Email your story to us on an audio file, Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com, or go right to the website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Share your story there. Ghost Podcast is where you can get all the EPP bonus episodes of the program, brand new ones every single week. You want to hear what those sound like, just listen to the previews that we put out every week. Definitely worth it. $5 a month gets you access to all those, as well as all the advanced episodes of the regular show weeks before they go public. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you once again. And how are you this fine day?
Well, you know, Tony, I've been better.
Rabies?
Yeah, I have the rabies.
The rabies.
It's either that or the bubonic plague. I don't know.
It's going around.
The bubonic plague's going around.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, so I was telling Tony the rules tonight. He cannot make me laugh.
Mm-hmm.
So if I laugh, I'll cough. So just know that.
I just thought maybe we could kind of cough together and harmonize our coughing a little bit. That would be kind of interesting. We could cough to like 80s theme songs from television shows. And you have to kind of cough the theme. And then the other has to try to guess what theme you're coughing. And
that's a really great idea.
That could be interesting, you know. Just make the best of an illness. So
it'll sound disgusting, but it'll be fun to try to figure it out.
Exactly. You need like a really good one. It's like, oh, here's a big phlegm ball. Let's make this really work kick off the end of just the 10 of us and their intro or something. So
and everyone's like, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever listened to.
Exactly.
But exactly. Strangely, I can't quit.
It's strangely.
I have to know what theme song she's coughing.
Exactly. Okay, 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I just took my little cough medicine, so hopefully I can choke my way through one of these stories here. Let's go to our first
one. Oh, and Tony and I haven't even seen each other. It's like we don't even live in the same city.
No.
This is just a coincidence.
It just proves that you can get sick through Skype. So
exactly.
Now everyone's aware of that. 855-853-4802 is our number. Let's go to our first letter. It says, hey, guys, hope you're both doing well. Wanted to share something that happened about a year and a half ago. I don't know if it's paranormal at all, but it was kind of weird. In November of 2016, my husband's grandmother was admitted to the hospital. Second day she was admitted, she had a stroke that left her brain dead. We went to the hospital to say our goodbye since they planned on disconnecting her that same night. My husband and I weren't going to be able to be there, which is why we decided to spend the whole day at the hospital with the family and at least give my husband a chance to kiss his grandma goodbye. Well, at night, my husband left to work, and I stayed at home with my son watching movies. At around 9 p.m., our phone rang. When I went to answer, my husband's grandma's name appeared. Thinking it was probably my in-laws calling to say that she had been disconnected or that maybe they needed something, I didn't hesitate to answer. When I did, there wasn't anyone on the other end. All I could hear is what seemed to sound like white noise, but it wasn't too loud. I waited for a bit thinking someone might come to the phone, and after a few hellos, I hung up and called my mother-in-law. I asked if someone had called since they were all gathered together, and she said no, that she was about to call to let us know Grandma had been disconnected. I asked where Grandma's phone was at, and she told us Grandpa had put it inside his daughter's purse. I just right away thought that maybe by some of the movements from the purse, the buttons might have gotten pushed by accident, which led to the phone call that explains no one answering. Coincidence or not, I guess we'll never know, but I just wanted to share this with you guys. Give me something to think about. I have much more, many other stories like this that seem to be more than just coincidences. I'll be sure to call in or email them to you. Have a great day. So, coincidence, or was it the sign from Grandma that she had passed on?
Well, it could be a coincidence. Sure. I mean, because there are ways that you can reach in. We've all done it. Accidentally dialed a phone.
Sure.
And not meant to. But the fact that it was at that time and it was the grandmother's phone, personally, I like to think it was not a coincidence.
Yeah. You know, even
because it's a beautiful story.
Even if it was something where it was a human error that caused it, it might be, I would chalk it up to, well, you know, maybe that's the kind of everything happens for a reason. Maybe there was a reason it was accidentally butt dialed or something, just to kind of give that extra little notification. You know, you can look at it either way, and either way, the odds are, you know, very, very low for to work out the way it did. But it certainly got a message across either way. So
I just love that story. I love stories like that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802, our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Next letter. Hey, guys, I have a quick story. Not sure if it'll make it on the show or not, but either way, hope you like it. Almost a year and a half ago, my cousin passed away from complications of congenital heart abnormality at the age of 28. Although he was in and out of hospitals for years, I was in denial about how grave his situation was until we lost him. Anyway, I grieved his death, but not very long. I'm very good at compartmentalizing, but living 3 hours away from where he and the rest of my saddened family lived helped me not go insane with pain and grief. Don't get me wrong, I go through moments of sadness, and I'll cry because I miss him, but I'm not overwhelmed with severe depression for days like most people do when they lose a loved one. Just a few hours ago, I was working late in my office, and for no reason, my cousin came to mind as I was getting ready to leave. And for some reason, I just couldn't shake the thought of him off my mind. I want to make it clear that I'm not a sensitive or psychic. I don't consider myself in any way in tune with the supernatural. I have no idea how energies feel. I sincerely have a hard time understanding when people talk about it. But I want to say that because I just couldn't shake him off my mind, that maybe he was there. I'll start talking to him in my head, and a few times was close to telling him to make his presence known to me, but I would retract the thought almost as quickly as I had thought it. Not only would I get freaked out, but also because I know how much of a jokester my cousin was while alive. So at one point I said, "Oh, I know if you're here and it's not just me talking to myself like an idiot. Allow me to hear the song See You Again by Wiz Khalifa on my way home. That'll show I know you're here with me." The song makes me think of him and sometimes still gets me a little emotional. So I hop in my car, half expecting to hear the requested song, going through the stations, trying to find a song I like without really putting too much emphasis on specifically trying to look for that song. I figured that if I'm meant to hear it, I would. So I'm driving and I'm almost there, maybe 5 minutes or less away, when I turn to a station that had the song playing. I was so excited for me because that was the validation my cousin was with me and I wasn't going crazy talking to myself. Anyway, just wanted to share that short story with you. Hope you guys like it and find it as cute as I did. Have a great day and keep up the amazing work, Denise. Thoughts?
I love that one too.
Yeah.
Now that's crazy though, that like play that song when I'm coming home from work. I want to hear that song. And then he finds it on the radio.
As a radio person, though, my question is this in high rotation at the moment? So is it going to be like a really good chance, or was it, you know, what category is it in?
You do have a really good point there, because like all those radio stations have categories, and it's like, especially that type of station, it could be spun like 90 times a week.
Yeah. Not to discount the story at all. I just, that's where my mind goes of like, well, what are the odds of it playing on the air right now? And I have no idea, you know, the timing of this and where that would all have been in terms of the popularity of the song. But still,
happened when he was on his, and maybe it's a 2-hour drive home too. I don't know.
All these factors. But nonetheless, I mean, again, it kind of almost goes back to like the last story was too. Either way, It was a sign that happened. It's kind of one of those everything happens for a reason moments. And, you know, I kind of understand that, where he was having that thought of him and it just felt so real, so different. It wasn't just a passing thought where you're thinking about someone. If you're in depth into that amount of almost, you know, a conversation with someone who's not there anymore, that's a little different than just thinking about someone, especially if you can put it in the perspective and this is not something you do all the time.
Well, because I don't know if I told you this story before. Maybe I did. But I'd been out with my friends after my dad died, and I was just really bummed out, and I was just faking it. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm just really sad, and I'm going to go home. Mm-hmm. So I leave the bar early. I get in my car, and the song starts, and it was That's the Way Love Goes by Merle Haggard, which isn't a song that – it's not like Oogie from Muskogee. Mm-hmm. It's not the song you hear all the time.
Sure.
And it starts playing. Like, I turned on my car. I didn't even put it in park, and that song came on. Like, I didn't even change the station, mm-hmm. and that song came on. And I was leaving a bar because I was missing him so bad. And I was just so sad. I just wanted to go home. And so, yeah, I'm like, stuff like that.
It happens.
Yeah.
It does happen.
So I like to think that was a sign. And it wasn't because it was popular at that time and getting spun 90 times a week.
Mm-hmm. That's just the odds of that one popping up pretty low.
Now,
for that,
if you tell me the next story was about a year and a half ago, because the first two were about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So we'll see.
855. Yeah. 855-853-4802, our number. Let's jump over to our next letter. It says, I live in Maine. I'm 30 years old. All my life, I've had a fascination with the supernatural, but I haven't been exposed to much of it, if at all. Still, love hearing stories, seeing credible evidence, and would be open to having a non-harmful experience. This past summer, 2017, something happened to me. I'd love your guys' two cents on. I work overnights, so on the weekend, even with napping, I still get tired early in the night if I'm not doing something outside of laying around and watching TV. Crawling into bed and falling asleep is very easy for me on these nights. This night was no exception when it came to the early tiredness, and I retired to my bed to sleep. As I was laying there closing my eyes, doing some daydreaming and fantasizing about myself being in cool Hollywood-like plots before I drifted off, I suddenly noticed something. I have crappy vision and require glasses, so from the fog of the darkness and blurry vision, I started to notice a face. It was coming towards me from about 2 or 3 feet away as it was slowly revealing itself, as if starting transparent and becoming fuller. It wasn't a scary face. The more and more I saw the features, it became clear it was a female face with pleasant features and long black hair. It came closer and closer. It was right in front of my nose, and it moved from nothing to very close in a matter of a few lingering seconds. She wasn't scary looking. It had a nice smile to her. I must admit, it sort of had a comforting feel to it, like something of a girlfriend or a romantic friend. Being single for most of my years, it was a welcoming aura, but at the same time, the whole time, it was very unsettling. Of course, seeing a face come right up to you like that, out of thin air as you're lying down, staring at the ceiling, is going to scare anybody, and I'm no exception. She was a nice face to be comforted with, but at the same time, it was creepy and got me more and more spooked the closer she got. I snapped out of it, lay there on my bed, collected my thoughts, and drifted to sleep again, brushing it off. Now, I was going to leave it at that, but my dentist, who is perceptive to spirits, told me it could have been a spirit maybe briefly revealing itself to me. Ever since then, I've been curious about it, and it dawned on me that it might be of interest to you two. So, what do you think? Sleepy, dazed brain playing tricks on me, or did my veil slightly lift enough for a passing encounter? The house I live in, to my knowledge, isn't especially haunted, but hey, the paranormal doesn't really have a strict code of conduct, so maybe it had a glitch in the matrix. Love the podcast. I submitted a race car dream a while ago on another podcast. Very much appreciated the kind words and helpful insight. Plan on submitting a short recent dream sometime soon. Keep up the great work. Plan to become an EPP. Want to hear your spooky stories. What are your thoughts on that that situation of seeing the face, but really not having any other context as to who or why it's there?
Well, I mean, he could have been in that in-between, like, I'm kind of asleep and I'm kind of not asleep.
Sure.
And so maybe it could be, like, a dream state,
mm-hmm.
and that could happen. But, of course, it could actually be something else. You know, because I also don't live in a haunted house, and I have weird stuff happen.
You live in a haunted house. But
I don't.
it did not strike me as sleep paralysis, because there was no mention of not being able to move or anything like that. I think that would have been something that would have been noticed if you're seeing this thing and then suddenly you cannot control your movements, or you're not able to have any sort of movements. I'm just wondering, you know, sometimes I think things kind of pass through, move on, and maybe not necessarily are haunting that house, but just kind of going through the area, if you will, and just kind of checking in and peeking on people and seeing what's going on. And, you know, oftentimes we hear the stories of, I was in my bed and then this thing came in and just kind of looked at me. I was thinking that the other night, you know, if I was a ghost and my true intent was not to startle anyone, but I wanted to kind of move around and be able to explore things, that would be the time to do it when there's everybody's in bed, where you're not going to startle them because they're not up and they're not, you know, wide awake. So you'd be wandering around, and every once in a while you're going to catch somebody who's somewhat awake. And that would be, you know, unfortunately, very startling to them.
I mean, and it could be that, like, spirits like that, she does that all the time. And yeah. It's like, whoa, this one's actually seeing me.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know. I would be quite terrified, even though it was a calming presence. That would scare the crap out of me.
Yeah.
Like, I would never go back to sleep. I'd have to move.
I think anyone, for the most part, would have that sort of a reaction. Thank you for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802, our phone number. Let's go over to a caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony. This is Eric in Southern California. I am wading through traffic, per usual, and it's raining. So it's a nice, gloomy, mystic day. I thought I'd give you guys a call and let you know about some of my encounters and experiences. Well, when I was younger, riding my big wheel in a neighborhood my mother and I lived in, townhouse subdivision outside of Atlanta, Georgia. Neighbor two doors down, around the same age, him and I, probably around 6 years old, five or six, decided to race our big wheels. And the sidewalk went along the front of our row of townhomes, and then behind the next building, which back behind their backyards, was a decline into wooded area. So it was the woods. Well, he rounded that corner behind that stretch of homes, and I rounded it, but something in me knew that I would be stopping soon. I wasn't panicked. I wasn't scared. I was just there, and I knew I was experiencing something. And right behind maybe the first or second home, you know, behind their fence and along the woods, something came out from my right side of the woods and picked me up. Now, I have a very clear memory of this. I always have. But I cannot remember an image of a person. I just remember being almost compelled to stop. And for some reason, I couldn't see. And then I was off the ground, a good 5 feet off the ground, just holding on to my big wheel and actually pedaling in the air. And I remember seeing my neighborhood friend who had made it down the stretch but was wondering where I was at, look back, and the look of pure terror and horror on his face. And I slowly got put back down, and once those wheels hit the ground, like I said, they were already in rotation. I was like Fred Flintstone trying to pedal in one place until I took off. And him and I, we didn't even have to speak. He jumped off of his big wheel and ran into his house. I jumped off of mine, ran into my house. And my memory fades as I'm telling my mother, someone just came out of the woods. And as I've gotten older, especially this past year, I really want to do some regressive therapy to find out what exactly happened that day. Other than that, probably 3 or 4 years later, my aunt's best friend, she lived right below us, and her daughter was my age. They were driving through an apartment complex, once again outside of Atlanta, Georgia, in the suburbs there, and they said that they hit a man. He was a white guy, and he walked in front of their car, and they stopped the car and got out, and no one was there. No one was underneath. No one was on the hood. And, you know, this is in plain sight. So there was not like this guy would have just ran away without either of them seeing. And that was pretty weird. I remember them being sketched out, and that was very weird for me as well. Well, moving forward, when I was in middle school, I moved up to Virginia and with my mother's sisters, a couple of them, and the youngest one told me about how when she was 19, traveling with an army duffel bag, backpack from a Greyhound, she got off somewhere in rural Georgia or Alabama, and she was walking through a dark parking lot. It was nighttime. It was the middle of the night. The parking lot had lamps, you know, street lights. And she remembers seeing a janitor or custodian sleeping. And she said that he was a black man, like my family, and tall and beautiful skin, very beautiful skin. And he asked her, he got her attention, and he asked her if she had a nickname. And she said no. And he said, oh, because you remind me of Little Bit. And she's like, no, I don't have a nickname called Little Bit. And then he said, well, do you know my, and he said her grandmother, my great-grandmother's name. And my aunt said, yeah, that's my grandmother. And at that moment, my aunt had dropped something right there in front of them during this conversation, and she reached down to pick it up. And when she stood straight up again, the gentleman was gone. The janitor, the custodian, was gone. She later contacted her grandmother and asked her about this nickname, Little Bit. And my great-grandmother admitted, yeah, that was my nickname. They used to call me Little Bit, especially when I was wearing a backpack, because she was, a petite lady, but she was tough as nails. And she said that that was her uncle, one of my ancestors, I guess. I don't know, from Louisiana, where my great-grandmother grew up. Other than that, I was listening to your new episode about some hotel experiences. I was right next to the New Yorker Hotel in another building that actually shares a wall with it, and Nikola Tesla actually died in the New Yorker Hotel. But I was making music in 2014 in New York City, Midtown, and this building, which serves as a concert hall with actually two ballrooms, our studio was above the top ballroom on the 9th floor. The elevator only went up to the 8th. So you'd have to get out on the 8th floor and walk up a little flight of stairs, and then you were on the 9th floor. Well, in that studio, I never felt comfortable being alone in there. Sitting there, it's a studio suite, formerly for television, but we had made it into a music production lab. And it, with my back to the rest of the suite, you know, you would see, I could feel someone walk across. Walked behind me, and I honestly, I got so freaked out. Most of the time, I would just sit with the door open because one of us had to stay in there because it's a very well-known place, so it was always locked, and I would just sit right at the entrance with the door ajar because I didn't feel comfortable being in there. But one night, this gave me reason enough to say why, because we left around 1:30 in the morning. Our supervisor, the head guy, and another musician, singer, songwriter, my buddy, and we got on this old elevator, and like I said, we get on at the 8th floor, that's where the elevator stops, but today, it went up on this day, and then it started to drop faster than it had ever descended before, and the lights indicating which level we were on were blinking, and over this old intercom, we didn't even notice because it was so old, this static comes on and this voice of like a woman just says, get out. get out. And this is happening long enough for me to actually grab my phone and turn it on. And I had a video footage of us running out of this elevator and talking to the security guard in the lobby in Midtown Manhattan. And he's like, oh, I didn't even know you guys were up there, but all these alarms and stuff are going off. And he's like, I don't know what's going on. And after that, I really had no desire to make music there anymore, because you only have to tell me once to get out, you know, through an intercom in a creepy elevator. But I was pretty honored to have experienced something like that in New York City. Always very interesting to me if all the people you see walking around there are actually the living, anyway, if that veil ever lifts. In any case, that's a few stories. I'm sure I have many, many more, but I really appreciate the show, and it's nice to listen to on a rainy day. all right, thanks.
Thanks for calling. I always love your calls. There you go, elevator and the get out.
Every one of those was good.
Yeah. Which one you want to talk about? Because there's a lot of them to talk about, obviously.
Well, the Hot Wheels thing. Like, what was that all about? And, like, I wonder if he ever talked to the friend and said, you know, like, after the dust settled, you know, like kids do, what did you see?
Yeah.
You know, because it'd be interesting if they, because he didn't really describe it like it was something just lifted him up. Mm-hmm. Or unless I missed that part.
It was like something just was there, like he was driving, and all of a sudden.
But he didn't exactly see it.
No, just something pulled him into the air.
But the friend saw something too.
Yeah.
So that was a good one. I love the one about the little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then she drops something. And then what about them hitting somebody who's not even there?
What he said at the end, too, where he was saying, you know, I wonder how many of these people in New York City are actually all here. I've always wondered that when with large crowds in places where how many, I mean, you think there's ghosts that just kind of go incognito and kind of go into crowds just to not be noticed. But every once in a while, you do kind of catch that.
I thought about that. Or like when you're in New York or wherever and you happen to make odd eye contact with someone, and it's just this weird like moment that you have with someone.
Yeah.
I have thought that before. Like, what was that weird thing I just had with that person?
Yeah. And you turn around.
And it could be that, you know, they were eyeing my Diet Coke and thought it looked refreshing.
It could have been that. Or they were dead.
But they were dead.
One of the two.
Great stories.
I've always wondered about that. Yeah, always. I always love his stories. Thank you for calling in. 855-853-4802. Let's get one more call in on this episode. Hi.
Hi, gang. This is Michaela calling from Minneapolis. First-time caller, long-time listener. I was just listening to one of your EPP episodes, a recent one here in November, and you had requested for people to call in with their holiday ghost stories kind of thing, like a topic for the evening. And I thought, well, I'll just call in this one. Super fun. I was maybe about 10 years old in Washington State, Bremerton, Washington, and grocery shopping with my mom. It was probably the week of Christmas. And we go down an aisle. We're coming to the end of our shopping trip, and we go down one of the last few aisles, and there's a watercolor paint set. And you know, it's the week of Christmas. You know, I'm already getting a bunch of presents, but I see this paint set and I'm like, oh, Mom, I want that. You know, can I please have it? Please, please. It's, you know, just a couple bucks. And she's like, no. You know, I'm like, fine. You know, and I'm whatever. I blew it off. But then just a couple seconds later, this gentleman comes around the corner and he said, oh, I heard you talking to your mom, and I wanted to know if I could give you something. And I was like, what? And I look at my mom, and she kind of nods her head, you know, like, sure, you know, what's up? And so the guy takes a wallet out of his pocket. He's an older gentleman, you know, maybe in his 60s, late 60s. I think he was bald, but he was a larger guy. It doesn't matter. But anyways, he pulls his wallet out, and there's nothing in it except his ID and a $10 bill. There's no credit cards, no nothing, just his ID and a $10 bill. He takes the $10 bill out and he gives it to me. And he was like, go buy yourself that paint set. And I look at my mom and she kind of, you know, smiles and says, tell him thank you. And so I said, thank you, whatever. And I turn around real fast and I go and grab the paint set and, you know, have it in my hand and I'm all excited. And she was like, my mom said something funny, you know, like, you got your wish or whatever. And then I was like, I want to go thank that man again, you know. And so we're at the end of the aisle. And so I peek my head around the corner. I'm like, which way did he go? And I go down the only way he could have gone. And he's nowhere to be found. I look down all the aisles. I'm running around. And the whole front of the store was all glass windows. So I can see out in the parking lot. And I don't see him. He didn't have a cart with him either when he took his wallet out. So he wasn't in the parking lot going to his car or anything like that. And like I said, he was a bigger guy. He couldn't have ran too fast, I wouldn't think. But it was just so weird. I was just like, I couldn't find him anywhere. And it was literally like 15 seconds after I had taken the money and said thank you. And it was just weird. So I always loved that story. Yeah, that's my holiday ghost story. Who knows what it was? Santa, an angel. cool. That's my holiday ghost story. I have a Halloween one, but I'll call that in another time. I have a bunch of stories about my time in Bremerton, Washington, and a few from here in Minneapolis. So I will eventually be calling those in. Thanks for what you guys do. I really, really love the podcast, and I try to get all my friends to listen to it, but I'm working on that. Thanks, guys. Happy holidays.
Thanks to the story and sharing that experience with us. Ghosts with money. We need more of them.
Like ghosts with hundreds.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you want this? Go ahead. And boom, gone. Just disappeared. And all that's like, left is
you're looking at that brand new car, Carol, here.
Yeah. That's like...
But that's so sweet.
Yeah.
That's so sweet that there he is and there he's not. Especially if he's a larger guy. He couldn't have moved that fast.
Sure.
Like she should have been able to find him.
I think it's neat that she has kind of a Christmas ghost story, wherein it's a sweet one where it's just kind of a stranger that's just being a kind person. A lot of times your Christmas ghost stories are, and there's nothing wrong with it, but they tend to be, we're at grandma's house and the ghost of grandpa showed up or something of that nature.
Drunk ghost of grandpa.
Drunk ghost of grandpa shows up and ruins Christmas again from the grave. Started saying really inappropriate shit through the Ouija board and insulting everyone. And
I told you can't make me laugh tonight.
But that was a unique Christmas ghost story. So thank you for sharing that with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the program, keep us on the air. Get all those EPP bonus episodes. Ghostpodcast.com is where you do that. It's only $5 a month. You get access to every single EPP bonus episode, all 200 and, gosh, we're like near 230 now. You get all those advanced episodes of the program. We post them as we make them, so you get them before they go public. Weeks before then, you get a free e-copy of the book. So lots of great stuff there. Ghostpodcast.com. Sign up. Keep us on the air. Greatly appreciate that support. Do it for yourself as an after-Christmas present. If you didn't get what you wanted for Christmas, go get this. You deserve it. Ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.